Good morning, everybody. Certainly good to be here, see everyone that is able to be out with us. As Brother Code said, we've got so much to be thankful for. God has richly blessed us, abundantly blessed us. We have no guarantee of tomorrow, and He gives us so much every day that we should be thankful for. We've got visitors again. We're glad you're here. We are simply trying and endeavoring to be a New Testament church, to be the kind of church you can read about in the Bible, trying to do that to the best of our ability. We pray that God would bless us in our efforts as we do that, and that when our time is no more, that we would be rewarded for that work. This morning, I want us to look at six word pictures for the tongue. And we're going to take our text from James chapter 3. So let's turn to James chapter 3 and look at the first 12 verses. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt and fresh. So the tongue, it's something that is so small, but can cause so many problems. When we read through the letter in James, it appears that the brethren were having trouble with the tongue. James 1:19 says, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." James 1:26, "If anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless." James 2:12, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." James 4:1, "Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires or pleasures that war in your members?" And James 4:11, "Do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge." You know, sometimes today we talk about different business meetings that we've been in over the years where something has come up and there is a lot of discussion or argument over things. Just think, when you read through this epistle of James, if they had business meetings, they probably had some really argumentative meetings because of the problems that they had with the tongue, where this is being addressed. And consider this: the power of speech is one of the greatest powers that there is. Power for good or for evil. The tongue, the mouth, words can malign the name of God, or it can uphold the name of God, uphold the name of Jesus Christ. Words can lead others to Christ. And what a privilege that is for us. On the other hand, our words, our mouth can curse, swear, lie, backbite, slander, gossip, and many other things. So in James chapter 3, James uses six word pictures for the tongue. And we can also put these six word pictures into three groups. And if you're taking notes on the bulletin, I would suggest this would be a good chart to put in there to help better understand what the tongue is. So we're going to go through and we're going to look at these word pictures. And I like the way that the Bible has so many word pictures in it, because it helps us understand. If we understand this word picture, we get the spiritual meaning. So in verses 3 and 4, it's talking about a horse's mouth and bits, and a ship and a rudder. In verses 5 through 8, it's talking about a fire and a poisonous snake. In verses 9 through 12, it's talking about a fountain of water and a fig tree. So consider in this first group, the bits and rudder. With bits and rudder, what do we see? We see the power of direction. Our words direct. Bits in a horse's mouth directs the way a horse goes. A rudder on a ship directs the way that ship goes. And our tongues direct the way we go and the way that we direct others to go. But consider these things. They are so small, but they have great power, like the horse's bits or a ship's rudder and our tongue. They're small but very powerful. And you stop and think about this too. You have a huge horse, but you can put a small child on that horse, and with the bits in its mouth and the reins, that small child can control that horse that is very powerful. If that horse did not have bits in its mouth and you put a small child on there, that child would be struggling against contrary forces. Consider the strength of the horse. Consider the strength of the sea. If that ship did not have a rudder, that ship would be struggling against contrary forces. The ocean wants to push the ship this way, but that rudder directs the ship another way. What is that powerful force that we are struggling against? It's Satan. It's the devil. He wants us to say things we ought not to say. Now, he cannot make us say those things, but he can persuade us to say those things we ought not to say, but he cannot make us say anything. So there's temptation and pressure in the world to go the way of the world, but the tongue, like the bits and the rudder, must be brought under the control of a strong hand. Can we do that? No. No man can tame the tongue. So whose hand does our tongue have to come under the control of? The control of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ should control our tongue. Jesus is that strong hand that should control what we say, to say the right things and to say the right things in the right way. And if Jesus is Lord of our hearts, we will be subject to him with our tongues. If Jesus is Lord of our hearts, he will be Lord of our mouth. And it's easy to see if someone truly has Jesus as their Lord. But the tongue has the power to direct the lives of others. Words can influence, and they affect everybody. Words can build up or they can tear down. Have you ever had a meeting with a boss and that boss made you feel so good? Or when you walked out of the office, you felt about as low as the floor? A judge can say guilty or not guilty. That can lift somebody up or bring them down. A doctor can say you're going to live or you're going to die. A world leader can say something and we go from peace to war. Words are very powerful. They have a huge effect. And consider back in the Gospel of John, when we were studying that, and in John chapter 4, Jesus spoke just a few words to that woman of Samaria when she was at the well. But those few words that he spoke to her brought a whole city to come to him. In John 4:39, many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." And in John 4:42, when they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." So just Jesus speaking a few words to this Samaritan woman, she went back to the city and told them, and then this whole city came out to see Christ because of a few words that were spoken. Consider Peter on the day of Pentecost. He spoke the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and those words influenced 3,000 people to submit to Christ and give him their lives. Our tongue, like a small bit or rudder, can have great influence over the way that we walk and that others walk. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We see this all the time. Somebody will be yelling and screaming at somebody else, and the other person will say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it that way." And it just diffuses the situation. Or a person can be yelling and screaming at somebody else, and the other person yells and screams back, and it just escalates. Proverbs 12:22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. And Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. If we talk too much, we run the danger of slipping into sin. In the multitudes of words, sin is not lacking. So the tongue of a man has the power to direct people in a wrong way or in a right way. So the next section we see in verses 5 through 8, the tongue has the power of destruction. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. You know, a fire can grow to destroy a city. It can destroy thousands of acres. You think about the fires in California that we see every year. All the destruction that takes place from those fires, and how do those fires start? From one small little flame. Think about the Chicago fire of 1871. Tradition has that a man by the name of O'Leary was milking his cow, and the cow kicked over the lantern and set that fire. The fire started that way. And then that fire destroyed a third of the city, a third of Chicago. Just think about all the loss of life, the loss of homes, the loss of hope. You know, somebody that was living in Chicago at that time, we sing his song, it's a beautiful song, "It Is Well With My Soul," Horatio G. Spafford. He was an attorney that was living in Chicago and lost all of his property from that fire. How did it happen? From a little flame in a lantern. And that's what our tongue is like. It can spread. It can destroy. The tongue can set the whole forest of life on fire. People can get into so many problems because they are not controlling their tongue. Also, what does a fire do? Well, a fire can heat things up. You know, King David had a temper, and he had to have God help him control it. back in Psalm 39:3, "My heart was hot within me. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue." So David had to control what he was thinking. My heart was hot within me. And our tongue is like a fire, and we need to control it. Solomon said in Proverbs 17:27, "He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive." So again, talking too much can get us in trouble. It can be destructive. And James goes on to say with this section that the tongue defiles. It's like a fire that defiles. Think of a fire in a kitchen or a house. That smoke defiles, it contaminates, it mars, it stinks, it damages the house. When I was in my early 20s, I did electrical work for several years. And one of the contractors that we did business with did fire restoration. And we would go into houses. That was what his company was. We would go in to do the electrical work. But you would go into these houses that had caught on fire. And it was just the most horrible feeling to go in there. They might be damaged to different varying degrees, and they stunk. There was that smell of smoke in there. And they would put an ionizer in there that changes the molecular structure of the oxygen in the building to get rid of that odor. Because it's marred. The fire would mar. It would destroy. The smoke would destroy the house. And friends, that's what our tongue does. It defiles. It defiles us. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. Just like a little fire in a house would defile that whole house, our little tongue can defile our whole body. It defiles individuals. It defiles the home. How many homes have been wrecked by words? It can defile the church. It can defile the community. And when a tongue is out of control, it's going to defile everything it comes in contact with. Just like a fire, the fire isn't going to go here and then stop and go around this way and go over there. It's going to destroy everything, defile everything that it comes in its path. That's the way our words are. Another point about fire. Fire, the obvious, it burns and it hurts. And our words can burn and hurt. Was Jesus hurt by unkind words? I would say yes, he was. You think of all the abuse that he took. Things that people called him names. You know, we have little sayings about, you know, words will never hurt us. Words hurt us. Words hurt us. And if, especially if it's somebody that's close to us says something, words will hurt us. They told Jesus he had a demon. They told Jesus he was gluttonous. He was a wine bibber. You know, this is God in the flesh, and they used words to hurt him. Paul said in Colossians 4:6 that we need to know how to speak. And how we speak, when we speak, our words need to be seasoned with salt. And if we don't know how to speak with our words seasoned with salt, maybe we ought not speak about the subject. Our tongue is like a fire that destroys, it spreads, it heats up, it burns, and it hurts. I put an article in here about gossip. Before you tell or repeat a thing, ask the following questions. Were you an eyewitness to the thing or event to which you speak? Are you sure you have the facts straight? Are you willing to assume the responsibility for the things you tell? Will you sign your name to it? Can you support the story you are telling by evidence divinely required, namely two or three witnesses? Do you know and believe a person should be considered innocent until proven guilty? 1 Corinthians 13:5, love doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Are you willing to tell the story you tell in the presence of the ones you are accusing and give them a chance to defend themselves? Do you not know the telling of an ugly story is like signing a check? If it fails or bounces, you're obligated to produce the facts. Were you motivated by love and guided by the golden rule when you accused your brother? Have you earnestly endeavored to rescue the person you are accusing? Do you use your tongue to pray for him or to gossip about him? Our tongues can be so destructive. I heard a preacher one time talking about, he was working at a congregation and there was a problem of gossip there, and everybody would talk about everybody else, and it's a problem. So this preacher started writing down what everybody was telling him that they said about everybody else. Then one Sunday morning he got up and he just read the list of everything that everybody had said about everybody else. He said he didn't have a problem with gossip anymore. Didn't have a problem. But our tongues can be so destructive. James goes on to say, we find in verse 8, that the tongue is like a poisonous snake full of deadly poison. Now, when I was growing up and I would go to visit my grandparents in Tennessee, my grandmother would always tell me that when I would go walking in the creek, look out for the cottonmouths. When I'm walking along on the hillside, stay away from the prickly pear, because the rattlesnakes like to hide in there, and then when it's warm, they'll come out and they'll warm up on the slate. She told me that over and over and over again. Why? Because she was warning me. Because those snakes are poisonous. They are deadly. James says that's what our tongue is like. Our tongues can be poisonous and deadly also. In Psalm 143, they sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asp is under their lips. Again, the tongue can bite, backbite, slander, malign. James 3:8 says, no man can tame the tongue. No man. We need the help of God to tame our tongue. And friends, if you think that you can do it, Satan's got you deceived. He's got you right where he wants you. Man cannot tame the tongue. We can tame animals, but not our tongue. And with animals, back to the animals in the ship, how do we control those? It's with a mechanical device. How is our tongue controlled? It's not with a mechanical device, it's with our heart and submitting our hearts to our Heavenly Father. With the last section, verses 9 through 12, we see the power of life. The tongue is like a fountain or a fig tree. This is a word picture of this fountain. You think about a fountain of water. It can be sweet, it can be salty, it can taste soft, like sulfur, it can taste like iron, it can be distasteful, or it can be refreshing water. And that's the way our tongue is. And he makes the point, you know, from the child of God, it's improper to get good and bad water from the same fountain, from the same mouth. Somebody will say, they'll say something and they'll say, well, I didn't mean to say that. I really didn't mean to say that. But what they're really doing is adding to their problems, because they're lying. Whatever they said was in their heart. It's not going to come out of their mouth unless it's in their heart. That salty water, that fountain is not going to spew out salty water and say, oh, I didn't mean to do that. That salty water can't come out of a sweet fountain. It's what's going to come out is what is inside. Water illustrates that fact. But water is used in many ways and for many purposes, and water gives life. Just think, if we didn't have any rain, we wouldn't have any crop. This crust that's covering the earth would just dry up and be dust, and we would all die. Water gives life. Words give life. Proverbs 13:14. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to turn one away from the snares of death. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Water gives life. Words give life. John 15:3. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Again, water cleanses. The word cleanses. Well, not only is our tongue like a fountain, but it's also like a tree. And how is our tongue like a tree? Because it bears fruit. It can provide shade. A tree offers relief. Trees prevent erosion. And trees are beautiful things to behold. And as a child of God, our words should be a beautiful thing to behold. We should enjoy opening up God's word and listening to Him speak to us and speaking to others from the Bible and things that exhort us and encourage us and edify us and lift us up. That provides shade in our life. That helps us to bear fruit. It offers relief when you're outside this summer and it's a hot, the sun is scorching you, and you look for a big tree to go and get relief under. It is so refreshing. And that's the way our words should be. As a child of God, our words should be a beautiful thing to behold. Our words should give comfort to people. Our words should provide rest and peace like a giant oak tree. And also with this fruit that comes from a tree, our words can feed people. We can feed people with our words. Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. And John 6:63, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So, the tongue can be like a tree. It can produce fruit. It can encourage. It can give life. But in order for a tree to be good and healthy and produce, what does it have to have? It's got to have a good root system. And that is the same thing that holds true with a child of God. Our lives and our words reflect God. And we need to speak uplifting, wholesome words, kind words. We should never speak any unkind, any mean, ugly words. And when you do that, that shows the type of the heart you have. It shows that you've not submitted your heart to our Lord and Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Our roots have to be deep in Christ. You know, language changes over the years, and it usually changes for the worst, and you can't turn on the TV or the radio without hearing so much vulgarity and slang and just words that are so offensive. People say, "Oh my God," like it's a comma in a sentence. They'll say that over and over and over and over. OMG. Oh my God. That's just one example, but what does that do? That takes the name of God, our Father, and profanes His name and just makes it so common and a byword. It takes something that is holy and makes it unholy. And our words do that with everything that we say. If we are a child of Christ, we should speak words befitting a child of Christ. James said back at the beginning in verse 1, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. we've got to watch our words. Is he saying, don't be a teacher, knowing that you're going to be a stricter judgment? No, he's saying we need to be careful of our words and what our words can do. Our words can direct, they can destroy, or our words can give life. We stumble in many ways. One of the chiefest ways we stumble is with our tongue. It's a little member up here, and we trip all over it every day because we say the wrong things, or we say things that we do not honor God with. A perfect or complete man, though, is able to control his entire body. If we can control the tongue, we can control our body. So, how are you using your words? Are you using your words to direct people to heaven or to hell? Are you using your words to tear people down? And then when you do that, you're not just tearing them down, but you're tearing yourself down also whenever you say something negative about others. When you say something negative about others, you say volumes about yourself. Or are you using your words to praise and magnify Jesus Christ? Are you using your words to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior every day? Not just before you were baptized, but to confess Him to people every day, to let them know that He is Lord of your life. And then your words reinforce that Jesus is my Lord. Are you using your words to lead others to Christ? How are they going to be saved if we don't share the word with them? The first point under direction, we're leading people one way or another every day with our words. We're leading them somewhere. Our tongue is a very powerful member of our body. James gives us insight, and he gives us these pictures to help us remember how powerful it is and what we need to do with our tongue. You know, one of the things we are going to do with our tongue, everyone that is here is going to do it. We are going to confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're either going to do it on this side of eternity, we're going to make that good confession and then be baptized for the forgiveness of our past sins, or we're going to do it later. And if we don't do it now, on the judgment day, every knee is going to bow before Him and confess His name as Lord and Savior. Our words have so much power. There's anybody here this morning, Jesus' words offers an invitation to come unto Him. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If there's anybody that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.